President-elect Donald Trump's senior aide, Kellyanne Conway, said this week that it's a very big priority to move the U.S. embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, something Donald Trump has talked about, but would be a significant reversal of longstanding policy. Joining us now is Aaron David Miller, who's a vice president at the Wilson Center and a former advisor to Republican and Democratic secretaries of state on Mideast issues. Aaron David Miller, welcome back.
Jeremy, it's a pleasure to be here.
And first, just give us some background on this. Why are the U.S. Embassy and other embassies in Tel Aviv rather than Jerusalem?
In large part, it has to do, and the situation has evolved over the years. In 1948, the U.N. recognized Jerusalem as a corpus separatum, and it was intended to be an international city. I don't think anyone ascribes to that position today, but given the sensitivities of Jerusalem as the years went on, the U.S. that recognized Israel in 1948 opened a consular section initially in Tel Aviv, which was then the seat of the Israeli government. When the Israeli government moved its capital in 1950 to Jerusalem, the U.S. joined a number of other countries in protesting and refusing to do so based on the earlier U.N. pronouncements. And once negotiations began, in roughly in the 1990s, serious negotiations between Israelis and Palestinians, Jerusalem's status as a final status issue and its the sensitivities around it basically mandated the fact that, at least for the U.S., that we would continue to dance around the issue. We maintain a consulate in West Jerusalem, but have taken the position that until the final status of Jerusalem is resolved in negotiations, in mutual agreement, presumably, between the Israelis and the Palestinians, the United States government was not going to change its position on Jerusalem. And technically, the U.S. does not recognize Israeli sovereignty over any part of the city, West or East, nor does it recognize that Jerusalem is Israel's eternal capital, as mandated by an Israeli basic law in 1980. And it has continued to maintain that position, which among many constituencies. I'm pretty sure that the issue of Jerusalem remains the only example of a situation in which the host country would like its embassy to be located in a particular city, but the U.S. has basically declared that such a move, in this case, was detrimental to its national security.
So, but Congress did pass legislation in 1995 that required the embassy to move to Jerusalem. How come they haven't followed through on that? They've been passing these waivers every now and again.
Right. In October of 1995, the Senate approved what was then called, still is, the Jerusalem Embassy Act, and the House passed it as well. It came with a national security waiver, and subsequent presidents, President Clinton, President Bush, 43, and President Obama, continue to exercise that waiver. That waiver comes up, I believe, in June of 2017, and it will be intriguing, fascinating, and interesting to see exactly how the incoming administration after January 20th, President Trump deals with the Jerusalem issue.
Well, Bob Corker, who is a Republican senator from Tennessee and chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, was on Hardball with Chris Matthews last night. And here's what he said about Trump's proposal to move the embassy to Jerusalem.
Candidly, I've talked to the Israelis about it. And I think that there's a way to communicate the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem. I think you know what we have there is a consulate now that really works only on the Palestinian side. But I think there's a way of doing it if you communicate that you're still hoping and working towards a two-state solution. So I know he campaigned on it. I actually think it would be something at this point that would not be negative and could be very positive in moving things along.
Do you agree with that this moving the embassy to Jerusalem could actually be a part of bringing the peace process back up?
You know, I respect Bob Corker. He's a really smart guy. He knows the Middle Eastern issues well, and he knows the sensitivity on the Jerusalem issue as well. I don't, frankly. I think that moving the embassy to Jerusalem, certainly early in the Trump administration, with very little context, no negotiation underway, and no prospect of negotiations, I think would be harmful. And my point of departure, and it should resonate particularly well for a president Trump, who is clearly has made clear he wants to be a transactor in chief, that if the United States takes a position on an issue, it ought to be one that benefits and advances American interests. I understand that certain constituencies, certainly the government of Israel, many American Jews, many evangelical Christians, and many Israelis would welcome the move. I mean, I get that. But I do not understand, as an American and as someone who has labored mightily, unsuccessfully, in the wonderful world of Arab-Israeli and Israeli-Palestinian negotiation, why this should be done and how it really advances our interests. I don't think it advances our interests in three respects. Number one, sure, the peace process is comatose. There's no question. But an Israeli I know well who, with experience in negotiations, said that something could be dead or dead and buried. The peace process is dead. It may not be dead and buried. And if, in fact, an effort is made to prejudge or predetermine the outcome of these negotiations on such an incredibly combustible, explosive issue like Jerusalem, I think it's going to make even more difficult and rule out some of the possibilities that could actually exist in a Trump administration for moving this process forward. Second, I think at a time when the Middle East is literally melting down, transnational jihadi groups are ideologically using religion to foment all kinds of violence and terror, that putting Jerusalem into the mix is going to be viewed as a huge propaganda advantage, primarily to Sunni jihadis. And finally, I think you really are, in some respects, playing with fire. You have a city that has been, in some respects, even though it's witnessed its fair share of violence and confrontation, it has largely functioned, given the sensitivities on both sides and the potential for a major explosion, particularly around the overlapping sacred space known as the Haram al-Sharif, Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, and the noble enclosure, that if you inject this issue now into this kind of environment, I think the potential for a lot of violence and confrontation is great. And even if I'm wrong that, and you discount 50 or 60% of my analysis, why would you want to?
Well, and just to give people a sense of this, what you're talking about right there, I was just there just as a tourist and visited the Dome of the Rock, which is one of the holiest sites in Islam. And as a non-Muslim, you can't go into the mosque. You can get to the site, but only during a small period of the day. And there was a group of Orthodox Jews visiting, and they were surrounded by almost as many armed guards to make sure that they don't pray. These are very sensitive places, and there will be probably a lot of anger if the U.S. were to move its embassy to Jerusalem.
I mean, there'll be a clear decision to, quote-unquote, defend Jerusalem if, in fact, the United States takes this move. And I think, frankly, again, I come back to the initial and I would argue only point of departure, that in essence, when a president acts, the consequences of those actions need to be thought through carefully, and a balance sheet needs to be done. Not every action is cost-free. If this current administration decided that they wanted to move the embassy to Jerusalem, and as a part of that process, they made a policy pronouncement that in the context of a negotiated solution between Israelis and Palestinians, they would in fact support the idea that Palestinian part of that city, even though it will and should never be divided, would serve as a functioning political capital in East Jerusalem. It's a very risky and difficult enterprise, but it would at least provide some sort of context. But I think we are playing with fire at a time when so much of the Middle East is already aflame. Let me put it this way. The U.S. has danced around this issue for half a century. In my judgment, and I'm not in government, I'm not running for anything, I work for Republicans and Democrats and voted for them too, we ought to keep dancing around this issue.
That's Aaron David Miller, who is a vice president at the Wilson Center and, as you just said there, former advisor to Republican and Democratic secretaries of state on Middle East issues. Aaron David Miller, thanks so much for joining us.
Jeremy, thank you.